At 6:30 a.m., a phone alarm rings. A lunch note gets written. Field trip money is counted. A calendar is checked and a snack is swapped to avoid a class allergy. By 7:15 a.m., two backpacks sit by the door and a text goes out to confirm pickup. At 9:30 a.m., a meeting begins. She takes notes because no one else opened the document. At noon, she orders a birthday card for a colleague, so the team will not forget. At 3:15 p.m., she messages the sitter about traffic. At 5:40 p.m., she tracks who needs which shoes for practice. At 8:45 p.m., she lays out clothes for tomorrow and fixes a printer jam to send one form. At 9 p.m., she surveys the day and sees outcomes that look effortless. The effort is hidden. If no one counts this work, who gets credit for the day? Chapter 1, The Unseen Shift. The day looks organized from the outside. Inside the day sits a quiet layer of work that plans, tracks, and holds the small pieces together. That layer is the mental load. It does not always show up on a to-do list. It still takes time and attention. Mental load is the ongoing process of anticipating needs, making micro decisions, and keeping the system from drifting off course. It is the list that lives in a head. It is the calendar in a mind that checks for conflicts before they happen. It is the sense of who is hungry, who will forget a coat, and which form is due tomorrow morning. At work, a related pattern shows up. People call it office housework. It is the cluster of tasks that help the group function, but rarely drive promotions. Examples include taking notes, planning morale events, onboarding new hires, and smoothing conflict after tough meetings. These tasks matter. They keep teams steady. They are also easy to overlook when credit is assigned. A simple morning scene shows how the load works. A parent checks the weather, switches gym day clothes, and sets a reminder to send a check for the fundraiser. None of this is dramatic. Each action prevents a small future failure. The same person may later prepare a meeting agenda and invite the right stakeholders. The plan prevents confusion, yet the planner's time disappears into the background. The mental load has a history. In many households, unpaid domestic labor has long fallen to women. As paid work expanded, the home shift did not always shrink. Many researchers call this the second shift. That phrase describes the extra responsibilities that start when the paid day ends. It can also describe the invisible shift that runs all day in the mind. The load is not only about tasks. It is about monitoring. Monitoring means tracking the state of people, places, and plans. Who is sick? Which bill is due? Where the soccer cleats ended up? Monitoring creates a constant low alert. It keeps the system ready but leaves little room to fully rest. Another piece is switching. Switching means moving attention from one stream to another without losing the thread. Prepare a report. Pause to sign a permission slip. Return to the report. Switching carries a cognitive cost. Each transition adds a small delay and a small drain. The person who switches often pays those costs many times a day. Planning is the forward map. It sets up meals, rides, and due dates. It arranges coverage when a child gets sick. It reserves the dental appointment months in advance. Planning reduces chaos later. It requires time now. There is also social glue. Social glue is the labor that keeps relationships and morale intact. It includes thank you notes, birthday cards, and a check-in with a coworker who had a hard week. Social glue supports trust. Trust supports performance. The glue often falls to the same people who already track and plan. At work, office housework follows similar lines. Someone schedules the standing meeting, writes the recap, and captures action items. Someone onboards the new hire and answers the unasked questions. Someone manages the team celebration so morale does not drop. When these duties collect on a few people, their calendars fill with work that helps others succeed while reducing their own visible wins. The morning vignette returns at lunch. The parent orders a replacement water bottle because the old one leaks. They adjust pickup because rain will slow traffic. They also review a slide deck and prepare to brief a manager. The deck is good. The unseen calls and checks made the deck possible. The calls and checks will not appear in a highlight reel. Language helps make the invisible visible. Mental load is the umbrella. Inside it sit planning, monitoring, switching, and social glue. The home version and the office version overlap. In both places, the person who tracks the details carries the system's risk on their shoulders. When they miss, others notice. When they land every detail, few people ask how. the load is often distributed by habit rather than plan. One partner knows the pediatrician's portal login. The other assumes the reminders will arrive. One team member keeps the timeline straight. Others assume that person will catch the conflict. Over time, habits harden into roles. Roles harden into expectations. Expectations harden into stories about who is good at remembering. This chapter names the work without blame. The goal is clarity. If a team or a household wants fairness, it needs a shared map. The map starts with terms. The map continues with a clean list of what sits under each term. Only then can the group decide who owns what and when to rotate. A brief taxonomy sets that map. Planning covers future steps and deadlines. Monitoring covers states and changes. Switching covers the act of moving focus while holding context. Social glue covers human upkeep. Each category can be listed, assigned, and reviewed. None of this requires judgment about character. It requires attention to process. In homes, the default parent role often bundles many items from all four categories. The default parent is the first call from school. The default parent knows shoe sizes and snack rules. The default parent often becomes the on-call coordinator, even during work hours. Default status can be changed with a plan, but it will not change on its own. In offices, the reliable helper becomes the quiet coordinator. That person gets the quick ask because they will say yes. They hear you are so organized and accept more tasks that live between roles. Over months, the helper spends fewer hours on stretch projects and more hours on glue. The team benefits. The helper's visible output may stall. Naming office housework does not reduce its value. It highlights it. Teams need clear notes, clean onboarding, and steady morale. Teams also need to avoid concentrating these duties on the same people. Balanced distribution protects fairness and strengthens results. It also keeps talent from getting stuck. By the end of the day, the person carrying the load has made dozens of small choices. They have prevented small failures in both home and work. The day looks smooth. The smoothness hides what it cost to create it. Without a shared language, the cost remains personal and uncounted. In one line, mental load and office housework are real, structured forms of labor that plan, monitor, switch, and hold social glue, yet often go unnamed and uncredited. If the work now has names, the next step is to measure how much it takes, in minutes and in attention, so debate can move from opinion to facts. Chapter 2, Where the Time Goes. Start with a clock and a pencil. The goal is not to argue. The goal is to count. Count only the minutes spent planning, checking, and fixing. Leave the rest of the day alone. Keep the math simple and spoken aloud. Morning checks take time. 2 minutes to read the school email. 3 minutes to swap snacks for an allergy rule. 1 minute to sign a form. 2 minutes to move practice gear to the door. That is 8 minutes before 7:40 a.m. It does not feel like work. It still uses 8 minutes and a slice of attention. Now add the ride plan. One text to confirm pickup. One quick map check for traffic. Another text to say the gate code. 3 minutes more. Morning total moves to 11. None of those minutes count toward paid work or rest. They live in the cracks, so they do not look like a cost. Midday adds more. A message to the sitter about a time shift. A note to self to order a new water bottle. A check for tomorrow's library day. For minutes here. 5 there. The hour never breaks in half. The hour leaves with chips taken from the edge until nothing clean remains. Switching adds its own drain. A person writes a report. A ping lands. The person stops to reschedule a dentist visit because the reminder arrived now. They return to the report. The mind needs a small ramp to reach full focus again. The ramp takes minutes. Each switch is short. The sum is not. Set a simple rule for a week of math. Call every switch 2 minutes. This is not a lab measure. It is a fair round number. If a day holds 10 switches across home and work, that is 20 minutes lost to ramps. If the week holds 5 days, that is 100 minutes. Over a month, the ramps alone take nearly a full workday. Add routine checks. One nightly loop to scan the calendar. 10 minutes. One morning loop to pack and confirm. 10 minutes. One midday loop to reply to non-urgent family tasks. 10 minutes. 30 minutes a day on loops. 2.5 hours a week. 10 hours a month. The loops are real, even when they do not show on a calendar. Rework is a quiet thief. A permission slip is missed because the reminder stayed in one person's head. Now there is a scramble. The scramble takes 15 minutes and a favor. Rework also appears at work when the meeting invite missed a key person. The group meets again. 1 hour for five people becomes 5 hours of team time. The person who carries the load often steps in to patch the hole. The patch takes time that no one logged. The default parent role turns a person into on-call support. On-call means the mind never fully leaves the watch. Even when the phone is quiet, the person scans for risk. Is the backpack in the car? Did the coach change the field? Is the fever breaking? The steady scan pushes sleep later and shortens deep focus. On-call is not a full hour on a timesheet. It still shapes every hour. Decision fatigue builds as counts rise. Small choices pile up. Which snack is allowed? Which shirt matches a uniform rule? Which vendor can deliver tomorrow? Each choice is light by itself. As the day grows, the mind reaches for shortcuts. Shortcuts are useful. They also carry mistakes. Mistakes create rework. Rework sends the count higher again. Here is a one-page time map to make the drain visible. Draw four boxes. Label them planning, monitoring, switching, and social glue. For 1 week, mark a tally each time you do one of these. Two tallies for a longer task. At the end of each day, write an estimate in minutes for each box. Keep it plain. 10 minutes for a calendar sweep. 5 minutes for a sitter check. 2 minutes for a meeting recap. On the seventh day, add the totals aloud. Planning, 1 hour and 50 minutes. Monitoring, 2 hours. Switching, 1 hour and 40 minutes. Social glue, 1 hour. Round to the nearest quarter hour. Do not judge. Do not explain. Carry the sums to a fresh page titled Cost of Smooth Days. Seeing the totals removes guesswork from the next talk. Now turn to the workday. Count the glue minutes with the same honesty. 5 minutes to open the notes and title the document. 3 minutes to add the agenda and link last week's action items. 10 minutes to rewrite a summary so the team will track the decision. 12 minutes to answer the new hire's quiet question so they do not stumble. The day needed these actions. The minutes came from one person. Meetings hide load in plain sight. Watch who sets up the room. Watch who screen shares. Watch who captures the action items and sends them on time. The same people often do it. They do it because they are skilled. They do it because the team trusts them. They also do it because no one else volunteered when the silence fell. Each meeting adds 5 or 10 quiet minutes to their count. Remote work did not erase office housework. It multiplied side asks. Quick messages arrive because it is easy to ask for a little help. Calendar holds are sent in place of clear plans. People forward invites instead of editing them. The careful person fixes the invite and writes the plan. They save others from confusion. Their own deep work shrinks. The numbers matter because debates over fairness drift without them. One person feels tired. Another says the tasks are small. The count shows who is right and by how much. The count also shows which hour of the day is the pinch point. Some people lose the morning. Others lose lunch. Many lose the last half hour before pickup when alarms stack up and calls arrive. Not all minutes are equal. 5 minutes of clear focus at 9 a.m. is not the same as 5 minutes at 9 p.m. After a long day, the same task takes longer. The brain works harder to hold details. A late task also crowds sleep. Sleep loss makes tomorrow slower again. The cycle is quiet. The cycle is real. The time map helps break the cycle by naming when the load lands. If mornings show the highest counts, shift one routine to the night before. If late night shows spikes, move that work to daylight or share it. The map also reveals who is acting as the system clock. If one person checks everything first, the system follows their pace. That role deserves a title and a rotation plan. A small truth sits under all the math. The person who holds the list absorbs risk for the group. When plans go wrong, they feel responsible. That sense of duty pushes them to check again and again. Each extra check adds minutes and stress. Without shared ownership, the checks never end. The weekly totals create a starting point for talks at home and at work. Home can ask which items must be done and which can slide. Work can ask which glue tasks deserve explicit time and credit. Without totals, both talks turn into personality debates. With totals, the talks return to process and fairness. Two sample tallies show the difference totals make. In the first, a parent logs 2 hours and 40 minutes in a week for planning and monitoring at home. In the second, a project lead logs 1 hour and 50 minutes for meeting prep, note capture, and follow-ups. Together, that is over 4 hours of invisible labor. 4 hours is a half day. Half a day every week is a lot to hide. Repeat the count next month. Do not expect a perfect line. Some weeks surge when a child is sick or a deadline looms. Some weeks ease off. The goal is not to reach zero. The goal is to see the pattern and hold it together with others, not alone. Simple tallies of planning, monitoring, switching, and social glue turn a fuzzy debate into a clear count that anyone can see and discuss. With the minutes on paper, the next question is what those minutes push aside at work when the same few people are asked to carry the quiet tasks. Chapter 3. The Quiet Tax at Work. Office housework is the set of tasks that keep a team moving but rarely carry a headline. It includes taking notes, scheduling, organizing files, onboarding new hires, fixing invites, fielding side questions, and smoothing the mood after hard calls. None of it is flashy. All of it is necessary. Start with a simple meeting. 10 people join at 9 a.m. One person opens the notes, titles the page, and drops the agenda. Another screen shares and advances slides. A third watches the chat, answers quick questions, and logs action items with names and dates. The meeting ends at 9:59. The screen goes dark. The people who carried the glue stay another 5 minutes to post the recap and close loops. The next meeting begins at 10. The taxonomy of office housework is plain. Planning covers the agenda, the invite list, and the prep notes that keep discussion focused. Monitoring covers the chat, the time, and the list of decisions. Switching covers the small pivots during the call that keep the group on track. Social glue covers the thank yous, the birthday card, and the quick check on the new hire who looked lost. The categories mirror the mental load at home. The context changes. The structure holds. Hybrid work multiplied side asks. A quick ping feels smaller than a hallway stop, so people send more of them. Invites go out with vague titles. Links arrive without context. The careful person cleans the invite, adds the context, finds the link, and replies with a clear plan. That person becomes a quiet hub. The hub's day fills with fixes. Watch how these tasks land. They often fall to the same people who are known as organized, calm, and helpful. In a room, silence follows the question, who can take notes? The same two names surface. In chat, the same people write the first draft of the agenda. It is easy to stay with habit. It feels efficient. Over time, the pattern hardens. A meeting case study makes the pattern visible. The topic is a product launch. The chair opens with goals and a timeline. Person A speaks on pricing. Person B speaks on messaging. Person C asks sharp questions that push the group to make a call. Person D takes notes, records the decision, names the owner, and adds a date. After the call, Person D writes the recap and posts it. In the retro, the group praises clarity and speed. The praise lands on the launch. The clarity and speed came, in part, from the uncredited glue. Onboarding is another steady lane of office housework. A new hire arrives with a full list of unknowns. Where the documents live. Which process is current. Who to ask when plans change. One person often becomes the guide. They answer the unasked questions. They translate acronyms. They write a short map so the new hire is not stuck. The team benefits. The guide's calendar takes the weight. Emotional triage appears after tough calls. A plan fails. Tempers rise. The same steady person writes the follow-up that lowers heat and keeps work moving. They set a one-on-one to hear a quiet worry. They remind the group of the shared goal. The fix prevents drift. The fix does not appear in the metrics that count deliverables. Artifacts show the scope of glue work. There are clean notes with decisions and owners. There are agenda templates that let a new lead run a meeting well. There are onboarding checklists updated after each hire. There are recap posts that prevent what did we decide loops. These artifacts save time for the whole group. The minutes that made them came from someone's day. Context concentration is a risk that grows with glue work. The person who owns the notes owns the history. They know every decision and every edge case. When they are away, the group slows. The fix is not to remove notes. The fix is to spread roles and document where things live so knowledge is not trapped. That step belongs later. For now, the point is to see the load and where it sits. Side asks look small but add up. Can you grab actions today? Can you send the welcome note? Can you coordinate the customer visit? The asks cluster around people who rarely say no. Saying yes is kind. It also turns helping into a default role. When the default is set, requests increase. The loop feeds itself. The clock inside a glue day is uneven. 5 minutes to open a doc. 3 minutes to fix an invite. 10 minutes to rewrite a muddled summary. 12 minutes to answer a quiet question from a new teammate. The person who carries these minutes often does so between core tasks. Each small duty lands in the space where deep work should be. A short lens helps managers and peers see the pattern. Over 1 week, list meetings on a page. For each, mark who drafted the agenda, who led, who presented, who took notes, who posted the recap, and who followed up on actions. At week's end, count by name. The distribution will tell a simple story about concentration. A second lens looks at chat. Search one channel for the last month of "I can take notes" and "I will send the summary." Tally names. Repeat with welcome to the team posts and onboarding threads. The pattern is often clear. Two or three people appear again and again. These observations are not about blame. They are about accuracy. Teams need glue. Teams also need a shared view of who is providing it. Without that view, load hides in habit and personality stories. With that view, the group can decide how to handle it. The choice sits ahead. This chapter stops at seeing. Why does the same person take notes? The reasons are simple. They type fast. They know the topic. They care about clarity. They worry that no one else will do it in time. They are right that notes matter. They are also paying a price that is hard to see unless the team looks. Note work is not the only form of glue. Calendar repair is constant. An invite misses a key person. A link points to an old deck. The careful person fixes both and prevents a wasted hour. The fix is invisible if all goes well. If the fix fails, the careful person feels the miss as their own. Another quiet lane is coordination of small events. A welcome coffee. A quick celebration for a milestone. A farewell card. These touches hold teams together. They are also labor. When the same people always plan and buy, their budgets and time absorb the cost. One line from the prior chapter applies here, and then we move on. Switching between glue tasks and core work is not free. It carries a small ramp each time. A person who switches often loses clean blocks of focus. That loss shows up later when a deadline feels tight. A simple questionnaire helps people self-check. Do you often open the notes before anyone asks? Do you write the agenda when no one else does? Do new hires message you more than others? Do you fix invites and links on your own? Do you carry the birthday calendar? If you said yes to three or more, you are likely holding a large share of glue work. Leads can also run a quiet scan. In 1 month, who wrote most recaps? Who prepared most agendas? Who answered most new hire questions? If the same names appear, the load is concentrated. The scan is data. The data is the start of a fair conversation about roles. None of this argues against glue. The argument is for visibility. When glue is visible, it can be valued. When it is valued, the group can decide how to rotate it, when to give it time on the calendar, and how to credit it. That step belongs to the next stages of this series. Office housework is real team labor that lives in notes, agendas, onboarding, coordination, calendar repair, and mood care, and it often concentrates on a few steady people. If the same people carry the glue week after week, what work do they stop doing? And how does that shape who gets stretch assignments and visible wins next? Chapter 4, The Promotion Block. Promotions reward visible wins. Glue work is quiet. When the same people carry the glue, their airtime shrinks. Their record shows support, not outcomes. Stretch work drives decisions. Stretch work means the project with risk, a customer save, a new product slice, or a crisis turn. People who are free during meetings get those roles. People who take notes do not speak as long. Speaking time turns into proof that lands in review packets later. Credit follows the mic. In a launch meeting, one person frames the goal and presents the path. Another person tracks decisions, cleans the plan, and posts the recap. Weeks later, leaders recall who owned the room. They do not recall who kept the room on track. A simple path shows how this builds. The note taker becomes the default coordinator. The coordinator becomes the reliable helper. The helper leaves each meeting with small follow-ups. The stretch role goes to someone whose calendar is clear. After 6 months, one profile shows outcomes. The other shows support. Now name a pattern that shows up in reviews. Some workers must prove it again after each win. Their past work resets faster. They face extra risk when they leave the glue to claim a hard task. If it goes well, the win is called a team effort. If it goes poorly, the miss is theirs alone. That risk pushes people to stay in safe support lanes. Credit also depends on who is in the room after the meeting. The real ladder often moves in the small follow-up where a leader says, "Can you run point?" People who join that circle gain sponsors. People who are still posting recaps miss the handoff. They receive thanks. Thanks does not convert to scope. Mentorship and sponsorship are not the same. A mentor gives advice and feedback. A sponsor uses their own capital to put a person into the room, onto the stage, or on the document as led. Glue carriers often get mentorship because they are seen as thoughtful and steady. They get less sponsorship because they are not in the right moment when roles are assigned. Leave and part-time shifts also shape the path. After time away, many return into coordination lanes to ease back. Ease back becomes the new normal. They pick up onboarding, team rituals, and calendar repair. These acts help the group. They slow the return to visible outcomes that lead to level moves. Calibration rooms look at artifacts. Packets list goals, wins, and scope. Notes, onboarding decks, and team care rarely sit under wins. People who own those tasks need a strong advocate who says out loud what the packet does not show. Without that voice, the review sees less than the truth. Airtime is a currency. People who ask the hard question on the record are seen as leaders. People who guide the meeting from the side are seen as helpful. Helpful is not a level. Leadership is a level. If helpful duties keep landing on the same profiles, the ladder tilts. There is also a quiet penalty in risk appetite. Glue work trains people to prevent failure. Stretch work asks people to accept some risk and move. The switch is real. The worker who shields the team from mistakes is judged when they try a bold call. That tension holds people back from the kind of bets that get noticed. Sponsorship cures part of this. It does so by naming a person as lead on a real deliverable and by clearing room on their calendar. It also shows up when a senior voice gives public credit on the record. Without that, the person who talked the most is assumed to have done the most. Promotion stories are built over a year, not a day. Every week that a person does glue during key meetings is a week where someone else gets more stage time. At the end of the cycle, the stack of small moments becomes the case. The case then repeats the next year. Concentrated glue work starves airtime, limits stretch roles, and weakens credit trails, which slows promotions even when skill and effort are high. If promotions follow visible wins, what would a fair ladder look like when the hidden load is counted and credited with the same care as outcomes? Chapter 5, Burnout, Health, and Home. The signs show up at night. The phone lights. A mind lists the next day in order. Sleep slides away in small pieces. Morning arrives with a heavy head and a tight chest. Decision fatigue builds early. The brain handled a long chain of small choices before lunch. By afternoon, shortcuts take over. Shortcuts miss details. Misses create rework. Rework raises stress. The loop repeats the next day. Role conflict sits in the middle. At work, the person is a lead. At home, the person is the default parent. Both roles call at once. The call from school lands during a review. The mind splits. The split drains energy, even when the outcome is fine. The sandwich generation faces a double pull. Care for children meets care for aging parents in the same week. Medical forms, rides, and money talk stack on top of school emails and practice schedules. The clock has no slack. Small delays turn into late nights. There is a gap between emotional labor and task labor. Task labor is the action. Cook dinner. Send the invite. Pay the bill. Emotional labor is the quiet work of noticing, soothing, and holding the mood. A worker can finish every task and still feel empty when emotional labor never stops. Sleep debt arrives in inches. 15 minutes late to bed on weeknights becomes more than an hour lost. The body pays for it with slower focus and shorter patience. The person who carries the list often trades sleep for one more check. The next day costs more as a result. Stress shows up in small tells. Jaw tightness. A short fuse with a child who spills juice. A blank stare at a simple email. None of these prove illness. They are signals. Signals deserve a plan. A few boundary lines help. Each one uses plain words and a clear handoff. I need you to own Tuesday and Thursday pickups. Own means plan, confirm, and handle changes. I cannot take notes in the product meeting this month. Assign a rotation and put names on the invite. I will not answer non-urgent home messages between 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. Send them at noon or at 5. I can host the birthday, but I will not coordinate gifts. Please pick one owner who is not me. Scripts help at work too. I am not the best owner for the recap. Let's rotate by team. I will take week one. Please add names for weeks 2 and 3. This onboarding map needs to live with the manager. I will update it once. After this, the role owns it. This invite needs the right people and a clear goal. I fixed it today. Next time, the chair fixes it before it goes out. Use one-line self-checks to test load. If I stop checking the school app for 3 days, what fails and who notices? If I do not open the notes for 1 week, who opens them and how fast does the meeting adjust? If I move all birthday planning to a monthly calendar, does the team still feel seen? If I book 1 night a week without screens, does the house still run? Set a minimum rest plan. Pick a wind down time and protect it like a meeting with a boss. Move one late chore to daytime. Ask another adult or older child to take a task. Write the plan down so it is not a wish. Make a small recovery stack. 3 items, 15 minutes each. A walk. A shower. Quiet reading. When the mind starts to spiral, pick one and do it now. Do not wait for a perfect window. A short reset is better than none. At home, teach full ownership instead of help. Full ownership means the owner plans, executes, and absorbs the follow-ups. Helping keeps the list in one head. Full ownership moves the list to the person who owns the task. At work, protect focus blocks. 2 90-minute blocks a week with no meetings and no side asks. Put them on the calendar. Share the rule. In those blocks, the person is not the helper. The person is the builder. Signals that say the plan is working are simple. Fewer late-night checks. Fewer morning scrambles. Fewer quick questions aimed at one person. More common meetings because roles are clear before the call starts. Signals that say the plan is failing are simple too. More rework. More last-minute favors. More tight chests at night. When these appear, reset the plan in writing and move one duty off your plate this week, not next month. Burnout grows from constant decisions, split roles, and sleep debt, and it eases when boundaries are spoken, ownership is clear, and rest is protected like real work. With health guarded and lines drawn, the next step is to install shared systems at home that keep the day smooth without one person carrying the clock. Chapter 6, Shared Systems at Home. Start with one simple rule. Move the list from one head to shared paper. When the list is visible, the day stops relying on memory. When the day stops relying on memory, anyone can step in. Build a load map on a single page. Draw 4 headings in plain words. Planning. Monitoring. Switching. Social glue. Under planning, write meals, rides, appointments, and due dates. Under monitoring, write meds, uniforms, weather, and bills. Under switching, write the short pivots that break focus, like school app checks and delivery calls. Under social glue, write thank you notes, birthdays, and neighbor favors. Keep it short and specific. Aim for 10 lines, not 50. Now choose full ownership over helping. Full ownership means the owner plans the task, executes the task, and handles follow-ups without reminders. Helping means the list stays in one head. Helping looks polite. It traps the clock with the same person. Full ownership frees the clock. Teach full ownership by naming a clear standard of done. For laundry, the standard might be wash, dry, fold, and place on the right shelves by 8 p.m. on Sunday. For school lunches, the standard might be pack 2 balanced meals by 8:30 p.m. and clean the counter after. The standard is not perfection. The standard is good enough and on time. Start a weekly family council. Keep it short and steady. 10 to 15 minutes on Sunday evening works for many homes. Use the same agenda every week. First, quick wins from last week. Second, look at the load map and pick who owns which items. Third, pick one item to rotate. Fourth, confirm the calendar for rides and practices. Fifth, set one rest plan for each adult. End with a 2-line summary that names owners and times. Use roles to keep the council light. A facilitator runs the agenda. A recorder writes names and times on the load map. A timekeeper ends on time. Rotate these roles each week so no one becomes the permanent coordinator. If you have kids, include simple jobs that match age. A child can be the water helper or the calendar checker. Shift the default parent role into rotation. Pick 2 or 3 set blocks in the week. For example, mornings on Monday and Wednesday belong to one person. Mornings on Tuesday and Thursday belong to the other. Friday rotates every week. Default means first call, first decision, and first fix during that window. Write the rotation on the load map so there is no guesswork. Practice task transfer with training and a grace period. The current owner teaches the task once at normal speed. The new owner repeats it while the trainer watches and stays quiet. Agree on the good enough standard in writing. The first 2 weeks are a grace period. Mistakes are expected. The owner learns by doing. The prior owner does not swoop in and redo. If a task fails during the grace period, fix it together and adjust one step. Do not take the task back. If the standard is too high, lower it a notch. If the timing is off, move it to a different hour. The goal is a stable system, not a perfect result. Install a mental offload routine. Pick one small tool that feels easy. A notepad next to the coffee maker. A dry erase board near the door. A voice memo on the phone. Twice a day, spend 5 minutes dumping what is in your head into that tool. Do one in the morning and one in the evening. End each offload by choosing one task to delete or defer. Pair the offload with a daily handoff. At dinner or right after, ask one short question. Who is on call tonight? On call does not mean no rest. It means one person handles unplanned needs after 8 p.m. while the other person fully powers down. Swap on call nights. Write the choice on the map. Use a one-week pilot to move from talk to action. Here is a simple script you can follow as written. Day 1. Make the load map. List 10 items across the 4 headings. Circle 2 tasks you can drop. Cross them out. Decide who owns the rest for this week. Day 2. Set the full ownership standards for 3 tasks. Write what done looks like and by when. Post the standards next to the map. Do the evening offload and a 2-minute handoff talk. Day 3. Run the first family council, even if the week already started. Confirm owners. Pick one task to rotate. Set on call through Friday. Schedule one rest block for each adult. Day 4. Transfer one task with training. The prior owner shows once. The new owner does it while the other stays quiet. Note one small change that will make it easier next time. Do not change more than one thing per day. Day 5. Protect a small buffer in the hour that is your pinch point. If mornings are tight, lay out clothes and bags the night before. If late night is rough, move one late task to daylight. Mark the change on the map so the system knows it shifted. Day 6. Review the week for quiet wins. Fewer late night checks. Fewer last minute scrambles. A clear answer when someone asks who owns what. If you do not see wins yet, keep the routine for one more week before revising. New systems need time. Day 7. Reset for the next week. Rotate one more task. Swap one on call night. Adjust one standard if it proved too high or too low. Keep changes small so the system stays stable. Create a simple way to see balance at a glance. Use 2 pens in different colors for owners on the load map. If one color shows up far more, move one task. Repeat every week. Balance is a practice, not a one-time fix. Plan for flare weeks when life spikes. If a child is sick or a deadline hits, name it at the council. Move fixed tasks to the other adult or pause them. Write the pause so no one quietly absorbs extra work on top of the flare. Invite extended family or roommates into the system if they share the home. Keep the same rules. Full ownership. Good enough standards. A short council. A written map. The point is shared clarity, not control. Teach kids simple ownership as they grow. A school-aged child can own packing a backpack at night. A teen can own one dinner each week with a set budget. Ownership builds skill and lowers the adult list. Praise the follow-through and the on-time finish. Keep tone steady and blame-free. The map is not a scorecard. It is a tool. Focus on what is owned, what is done, and what needs a small change. If a task slips, fix the system, not the person. Ask what step was unclear, what time was wrong, or what tool would help. Expect the system to drift without care. Set a reminder for the council. Keep the map where people see it. Update it in front of each other. When the week changes, change the map at once so the plan stays real. One practical note about money. If a rotating task requires purchases, name the budget and the card up front. Money confusion creates friction that looks like work conflict. Clear budgets prevent that. If you hit resistance, return to the goal. The goal is not perfect balance every day. The goal is a shared system that keeps the home smooth without one person acting as the clock. Shared systems protect health and make room for rest and for growth at work. Make the list visible, assign full ownership with good enough standards, run a weekly council, rotate the default parent, and offload the list twice a day so the home runs on a shared map. With the home system in place, the next step is to mirror this clarity at work so glue tasks rotate, deep focus returns, and credit follows the real labor. Chapter 7. Shared systems at work. The goal is simple. Make the glue visible. Assign it on purpose. Rotate it on a schedule. Credit it in reviews. Protect time for deep work. Hold the line after hours. Start with roles for every meeting. Name them in the invite. Chair. Scribe. Timekeeper. Decision tracker. Action follow-up. One person can hold two roles only if the room is small. Large rooms need 4 or 5 people. Put names and dates next to each role, so the rotation is clear before the call starts. Define each role in one line. The chair opens with purpose and closes with the decision. The scribe captures decisions, owners, and due dates in a shared note. The timekeeper keeps the agenda moving and calls 2-minute warnings. The decision tracker reads back the final call in plain words. The action follow-up posts the recap within 1 hour. Set a 4-week rotation. Week 1 lists 5 names. Week 2 lists the next 5. Week 3 lists the next group. Week 4 repeats the first set. If the team is small, rotate across 3 roles only. Chair. Scribe. Action follow-up. Adjust as you grow. The point is that no one becomes the permanent helper. Use clean invite text so the norm is public. Example text. Purpose is to decide on scope and owners for the release. Agenda is 3 items. Roles are Chair Maya, Scribe Luis, Timekeeper Chun, Decision Tracker Priya, Action Follow-Up Dev. Recap due within 1 hour. Run a quick load audit once a quarter. Pull the last 8 weeks of notes and recaps. Tally who led, who took notes, who posted summaries, who onboard new hires, who planned team events. Use a single page with 5 lines and tally marks. If one person holds more than 1/3 of any category, move 2 duties to others for the next cycle. Add 1 more lens to the audit. Look at the timing of after-hours messages for glue tasks. If one person sends most of the late recaps and late calendar fixes, the system is leaning on them. Set a rule that glue work happens in core hours, not at night. Create a light policy for out-of-hours. Messages sent after 6:30 p.m. should use schedule send. True emergencies are rare. Define an emergency in writing. Safety. Compliance. System outage. Customer loss in flight. Everything else waits until morning. Leaders model the rule. Protect focus blocks. Each person sets 2 90-minute blocks per week. No meetings and no side asks. The team calendar shows these blocks so others can plan. If a crisis touches these blocks, the person earns a makeup block the next day. Deep work is not a luxury. It is the work. Move onboarding to the right owner. Onboarding maps and checklists live with the hiring manager. The manager can assign parts to others, but the role holds the map. Set a 10-minute welcome huddle on day 1 that names the owner. This prevents the same steady person from becoming the default guide every time. Credit glue work in reviews. Add a section called operational contribution to packets. Require 2 or 3 artifacts. A meeting template that saved time. An onboarding map that cut ramp time. A recap habit that kept a program on track. Each artifact needs a 2-line impact and a fair time cost. Example. Weekly recap cut repeat meetings by 1 hour per week across 6 people. Time cost was 20 minutes per week for 6 months. Sponsors speak for this work in calibration rooms. A sponsor says 1 clear line on the record. This person carried rotation roles, created the decision log, and kept the program unblocked. This work enabled the result you see. Without that line, glue vanishes in the packet. Set small manager scripts that shift habits without blame. To rotate notes. I will not assign notes to the same person this month. We are rotating. Names are in the invite. Thank you for keeping us honest. To redirect side asks. I am moving this request to the role that owns it. The owner will reply by end of day. Please send future asks to that role and copy the group if it touches the plan. To guard focus. I see 3 side asks during your block today. Move them to noon. Let the block stand. We need your deep work to hit the milestone. To shift onboarding. The map sits with the hiring manager. Thank you for the past help. We will use your template and keep the load with the role. give individual contributors words that protect capacity without friction. I cannot take notes today. The rotation shows Amira Scribe. I do not own onboarding for this hire. The hiring manager owns the map. I can answer one question, then I need to return to my block. This quick ask would stop my deep work block. Can we send it to the action follow-up owner from this week? Stand up a one-week rollout, so the system lives in practice, not in slides. Day 1. Announce the change in a 5-minute huddle. Show the rotation for the month. Add role lines to every invite that starts this week. Open a shared note template with 3 headers. Decision. Owner. Due date. Agree that recaps post within 1 hour. Day 2. Run the first meeting with full roles. Timekeeper calls 2-minute warnings. Decision tracker reads the final call. Action follow-up posts the recap by the end of the hour. Manager thanks the 5 role owners by name on the team channel. Keep the thank you short and public. Day 3. Start the tally sheet for the load audit. Mark 1 line for each role per meeting. If someone swaps a role, write the swap. This is not a scorecard. It is a simple record, so the next quarter is fair. Day 4. Set focus blocks on calendars. 2 blocks per person this week. Post a short note that side asks should pause during those hours. Leaders add their own blocks and protect them in the same way. Day 5. Move onboarding maps to the managers. Hold a 10-minute manager circle to confirm the responsibility. Share the current template. Ask each manager to name 1 person to shadow the next onboarding so knowledge spreads. Day 6. Write the out-of-hours rule in 1 short paragraph. Messages after 6:30 p.m. use schedule send unless there is a true emergency. Emergencies are safety, compliance, system outage, or active customer loss. Post the rule in the team channel and read it aloud once. Day 7. Run a 10-minute retro. What worked? What felt heavy? What needs 1 small change? Make only 1 change next week. Too many changes break a new system. Choose simple measures so you can tell if the system is working. Most teams need 5. Distribution ratio. No single person should hold more than 1/3 of notes, recaps, or onboarding in the audit window. Recap latency. 90% of recaps posted within 1 hour. A slow recap signals confusion about owners and decisions. Airtime balance. In key meetings, at least 4 people speak on the record. Track speaking time once a month with a simple stopwatch method. Deep work hours. Each person logs at least 3 hours of focus blocks per week. Less than that means glue is crowding out core work. After hours rate. Messages sent after 6:30 p.m. drop by half within 4 weeks. The rate should continue to trend down. Expect friction. Plan small fixes. Risk. People fear lower quality notes if the rotation includes less experienced scribes. Fix. Provide a 1-page template. Train once in a 10-minute session. Good enough and on time beats perfect and late. Risk. A manager keeps assigning glue to the same helper out of habit. Fix. Use the audit tally in 1-on-1 meetings. Set a clear goal that no single person owns more than 1/3 of any glue category this quarter. Risk. People feel the system adds overhead. Fix. Keep roles as lines and invites. Keep the template to 3 headers. Keep recaps to 200 words. Remove any tool or step that does not save time. Risk. Remote and hybrid blur ownership. Fix. Name the 5 roles in the invite every time. Pin the shared note. The chair points to the note at the start. The action follow-up posts the link at the end. Adapt by team size. A team of 5 can run 3 roles per meeting and still rotate. Chair. Scribe. Action follow-up. A team of 20 can run all 5 roles and add a backup scribe who checks names and dates. Large programs can assign a monthly captain who ensures rotations and audits happen. Bake the system into onboarding. New hires learn the meeting roles on week 1. They practice scribe for a low-risk meeting by week 2. By week 6, they take the chair for a small meeting with a mentor present. This spreads skill and keeps glue from concentrating on the same 2 names. Make credit visible in the week, not just at review time. Add a short line to weekly status. Glue work this week. Scribe for 2 meetings. Recap for the launch. Onboarding map updated. Impact. Clear decisions and faster follow through. Time cost. 50 minutes. This line takes 10 seconds to write. It reminds leads that glue is real work. When a person moves from heavy glue to stretch work, clear their calendar. remove 3 glue duties for 4 weeks. Fill that time with the stretch deliverable. Announce the change so others know not to route new asks to that person while they ramp. Keep tone steady and blame-free. Say out loud that glue is valued labor. Say out loud that it deserves rotation, time on the calendar, and credit in packets. Say out loud that focus blocks protect the team's outcomes. When tone wavers, the old habits return. End with a small ritual that keeps the gains. The chair closes each meeting with one sentence. Here are today's decisions and owners. The action follow-up posts the recap. Then they write one final line. Rotation next week is set. Names are in the invite. This line pulls the system forward without a lecture. Name the roles, rotate them, measure the load, protect focus, credit the glue, and hold the out-of-hours line so visible wins and quiet labor both count. The series ends here, but the work continues next week when you open the invite, see your role, and know the system will carry you, not the other way around.